There is one power, one presence, one infinite intelligence that flows through all creation. And I call this God, the Living Spirit Almighty, one indestructible, absolute, and self-existent cause in which we live and move and have our being. This truth anchors us in the wisdom of the ages, in the ancient wisdom, in the declaration of our principles in science of mind. And it is how we move forward into our day with this deep-rooted, centering wisdom. There's only one, just one. And it's us, and it's everything. So welcome to our San Diego Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Dr. Connie, and we're going to today be talking about accentuating the positive. Our theme for this month is optimism, and we know that optimism is the looking to the good with hope, with expectancy. It's expecting the good. That's, since the divine is all good, we call it God the good, it just makes sense that that's what we would expect, the good. And so we want to look toward that which is good. There are all kinds of definitions. We have these wonderful vocabularies to describe all things. And one of the things you learn when you use a dictionary is they don't just have the word in the dictionary, they have it separated out by syllables and different parts of the word where you're supposed to give emphasis, where you're supposed to accentuate that as you pronounce the word. They have these little accent marks, kind of like an apostrophe. There's its, I-T-S, and there's its, I-T apostrophe S. And one's possessive and one's a contraction of it is. So that little mark, that's the accent mark that you see in a multisyllabic word in the dictionary. That helps us because it helps us to communicate better when we accentuate, give emphasis to a part of a word to better communicate our meaning. Think about, there's two words. There's accent and there's ascent. And if we didn't have any emphasis on one of the syllables, we might pronounce them the same because accent and ascent, except for one having a hard C, sound like they're spelled the same. Accent is A-C, emphasis, C-E-N-T, accent, like in accentuate. But then when we expand the word to accentuate, you go accentuate. So we want to focus on the accent. It's all these wonderful English words, how we get our emphasis on the different syllables. Now think about ascent. It's A-S, nothing, and C-E-N-T with the accent mark. So accent and ascent. So we can accent something. We can say somebody has an accent where instead of saying you all, they say y'all, which I do sometimes. Or they could say, like Joey in Friends, how you doing? So we all have different dialectical accents. But then ascent is to rise up, to ascend, like into the heavens, which are everywhere, but to ascend, to climb up a mountain, to climb into the clouds, to for an airplane to take off and ascend to its flight level. So this is just a very simple way of looking at how important it is what we accent in our speech, simply to communicate with ourselves and each other. How much more important is it then to look at what we accentuate in our thoughts and in our life experience? What are we going to emphasize? What are we going to focus on? The ascent, the rise, the accent, the difference. There's three things I want you to pay attention to, keep in the back of your mind while we're having this lesson today. And they are in line with this cute little song. It was probably from the 40s. Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, latch on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In Between. Okay, so we're going to accentuate the positive. We're going to eliminate the negative. And we're going to discover what Mr. In Between is. Because if we don't want to mess with Mr. In Between, we certainly ought to know what it is. We have many things that are considered positive and negative. Light is considered positive. Darkness is considered negative. But at the same time, we consider light good and dark bad, but we know that there is no bad because it's all God the good. So the light is the revealing, where the dark is the absence of the light. It is not bad in itself. It is simply the absence of the light. And what is the light? But all that is. We consider people who are spiritually aware enlightened. We consider that they look toward the positive, which is the enlightenment, the spiritual truth. And yet there's this huge picture that is everything. Think about art, artistry. In fact, look right here. This is our teaching symbol. And you will see that it's a white background. And the teaching symbol is gold, highlighted and trimmed in a darker. What we have here is, in art speak, positive and negative space. The colors are the positive space. The absence of the colors, the white, is the negative space. So there's nothing wrong with it. It's just a contrast. So we can see that there is the place where we draw nothing and the place where we draw something that is meaningful. I'm an amateur artist, and I took a watercolor class years ago. One of the things that I did, we were supposed to do a watercolor of this beautiful vase with bougainvillea and tiger lilies and different things. And I looked at that and I thought, oh my God, I don't know if I can do that. That is, the negative space that I was seeing was radiating with so much color that the positive space was almost like a darkness. When I looked at the floral display. And so I started sketching it with my pencil, and I was getting ready to paint, and I thought, how can I do this? And somehow I started painting the edges of the negative space. So what I wound up with was this beautiful, colorful absence of positive space. So there was the sketch of the vase, the sketch of the flowers and the outlines, and then all the outer was kind of like an aura of it. And I thought, wow, not only is that beautiful, I didn't have to go into the detail on the shading on every single petal. So it's not that, in that case, the positive space was not good, but that it is the whole thing, the positive and the negative space. Everything has its own energy. No matter how we look at it, everything has its own energy. Whether I looked at it backwards or whether I looked at it differently, didn't matter. Still the same vase, still the same flowers, still the same table they were sitting on. All good. All good. I accentuated what was meaningful to me. That's all any of us do. We accentuate that which feels like it is right for us at the time. Think about magnets. You get two little magnets. If you have put the two ends together, they will either repel very strongly or they will connect very strongly, such that if you hold them then together and you go like this, they're still connected. What that tells us is that everything has a purpose. Some things are meant to be driven apart. Some things are meant to be driven together with a strong bond. And it depends on what we want. The repelling of magnets, that is something that helps keep things in perpetual motion. The little perpetual motion machines, you'll see that the magnets come by and they are repelled, and so they keep moving. They keep moving. You couldn't very well have them be the attracting end because they would get there and sit and be very firm in their stability. So, what's positive? Do we want them stuck together? Do we want the motion? What do we want? What are we looking for? Ernest Holmes, the founder of religious science and the author of the Science of Mind book textbook, has something to say about power and how the magnets work, how our ideas work, how everything works in power. He says, if we know that the power with which we are dealing is principle and not personality, if we know and believe that mind is the only actor, cause, effect, substance, intelligence, truth, and power that there is, if we have a real embodiment, then we can demonstrate. If we lack, if we are poor, if we are without friends, if we are without opportunity, we should be sure to erase from our consciousness any sense of lack. We erase thought from consciousness by pouring in opposite thought. This thought meets the other and neutralizes its effect. It rubs out just as we rub out a chalk mark off of a board. We must maintain a consistent, positive, aggressive mental attitude in truth. A consistent, positive, aggressive mental attitude in the truth. Why do we want to be aggressive? Because of the power. The infinite power of the divine is ours. And when we are aggressive, we are embracing it and saying, well, yeah, I know that. I know God is all there is. I know this. And if anything in our life appears to be less than, we just need to remember that it's not a result of what we're thinking today. It's a result of the things that we thought before. And as my husband was fond of saying, yes, this is your life up until now. Up until now, when you choose what you want next, you choose how to move in this life. Because this year, 2019, we're emphasizing living a spiritual life, which is perfectly normal. We happen to be in physical bodies that are made of divine stuff, but we are living a spiritual life in a human form. So we know that power is principle. just like our teaching symbol. This represents the divine creative process. It represents every spiritual principle that exists. It represents the human creative process. You put an idea in, it gets processed via law, spiritual law, natural law, whatever, and a result comes out. It's like a spiritual computer. Input, processing, output. The input is always intangible. It's always a thought, an idea. And that idea gets acted upon by spiritual principle, often through the means of physical things. And we come out with truth. We come out with product. We come out with greater wisdom. All these different things we come out with through this divine creative process. And the other thing about the divine creative process is it is so embedded within our soul, because it's how we are created, it's who we are, that we act upon it, it acts upon us always. And we simply know it. We know it at a soul level. It's one of those things where you've never heard something before, suddenly somebody says something and you go, wow, yeah, I never thought of it that way before. I think you're right. And it stimulates us into a whole new area. So we want to always accentuate the positive thinking, the positive expression of who we are. We want to eliminate the negative that is no longer serving us. The ideas of lack, the ideas of limitation, the ideas of unworthiness, the ideas of envy. Envy. That's a subtle one. It's like, wow, Susie Q got that brand new car. I love that brand new car. I wish I could have a brand new car. But I don't have a brand new car. Gosh, Susie Q is so lucky. She's not lucky. We are, at the time, accentuating the wrong thing, giving emphasis to the wrong thing. We can be joyful and grateful for Susie Q having a new car. And to be honest with you, it has zero impact on us. We don't need to take that personally that she's got a new car. Yay! Yay, Susie Q! Wonderful! We'd be happy for her. And we'd be happy for us that we have transportation, whatever it is. That we have the freedom to move about. We'd be grateful for that. Because everything we are grateful for increases. And we can be optimistic that since we have whatever this transportation is that gets us around freely, and we're grateful for it, that it will continue and it will improve. It will be better because we are so grateful for it. And what happens to that which we give our attention to? It increases. It increases, which is why we want to accentuate the positive. Eliminate the negative, because what happens when we give the negative attention? It increases. So if we focus on that which we do not have and complain or feel unworthy of better or feel loss, that's what we're going to get more of. It is so simple. And yet so challenging. These teachings, they are so simple, so pure, so true. But then here we are, indoctrinated humans, with all the things that we have learned all our lives, that have led us to make decisions based on what we've been taught from others. And so what we really want to do is make decisions based on spiritual truth. We want to transform. We want to transform ourselves. We want to welcome the positive changes that are taking place in our life. We want to open the windows and let in some fresh air. We know that wholeness and healing are waiting in the wings. They're not sitting there waiting, thinking it's not time to give that person wholeness or healing yet. It's waiting to be accepted. Like a shirt in your closet. It's there. You can wear it whenever you want. But if you never take it out of the closet and put it on, it's still waiting. Now we know that healing and wholeness are spiritual qualities. And healing is the revealing of the truth. I love that. Healing is the revealing of the truth of our divine nature, the truth of the all good, the truth of the perfection of the universe and each of us as a part of it. Wholeness is lacking nothing essential. Lacking nothing essential. And since you're already whole, by definition, surely there is nothing to be healed, only the truth to be revealed. I want to share something else with you from Ernest Holmes, and this is on pages 450 and 451. Starts about the middle of the third paragraph. The whole teaching of Jesus is to have faith and to believe. The whole teaching of Jesus is to have faith and to believe. He placed a greater value on faith and belief than any individual who has ever taught spiritual truth. We are to believe in ourselves because we have first penetrated the invisible cause. We've first penetrated the invisible cause back of the real self. Now remember when I was talking before? We know that the power with which we're dealing is principle, not personality. So we are part of that principle. We are to have absolute faith in our work because we have positive conviction in the inner power which enables us to do the work. See, a lot of people think they're doing their own work. No, the work is just happening and we get to be a part of it as we become aware of it and accept it in our lives. If we don't accept it, it doesn't mean the work isn't being done. It means we're just not benefiting from it. He goes on to say, but to those who believe only in failure, the law comes in corresponding measure, measuring back to them the logical outcome of their beliefs. The habitual failure bears across the habitual failure bears across the threshold of his thought an image of his inability to attain. The old law says that what little he has shall be withdrawn until he has learned the lesson of life and action. Boy, that's depressing. And yet it's encouraging. It's encouraging because it says that we are experiencing the preponderance of our thought. And so what can we do? Think a new thought. We can think a new thought. We can accentuate the positive. We can be open to receive the infinite that is already given to us. Ernest Holmes says, each should train himself, and do so consciously, to conceive of himself as a success, sailing on that boundless sea of livingness, upon whose bosom we are all carried forward, we should go from success to greater success. All thoughts of failure or depression must be erased from the mentality, and positive thoughts of achievement should take their place. Have faith in God, in life, and in your fellow man. And this part is in all caps. Know that right is might. Right is might. Get some degree of real conviction and stay with it. The cosmic mind is neither wishy-washy nor willy-nilly. It is positive, certain of itself, and sure of the outcome. So, right is might. Not the might is right. It's not my army's bigger, so I must be right. No, it's that right, good, the divine, has all the power. It has all the power. And Ernest Holmes also tells us, and we know, that you and God are a majority. You and the thoughts that you create are a majority, because the thoughts that you create are a part of the infinite. Wow, lining up with infinite power? Isn't that awesome? Must be what Susie Q did to get her new car. Okay, so accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative. Now, what's Mr. in between? Shadowy, nasty, subversive little guy. It's our doubt. It's our own willy-nilly, our own wishy-washy. It's when we think, yeah, I'd like to have that. All I have to do is take one step to the right. And we keep standing there going, but should I take that step to the right? Should I maybe step back a little and look at everything that's going on? What should I do? I don't know what to do. And when we don't know what to do, all we're doing is saying, to put it tactlessly, God's an idiot. When we don't know what to do, we are effectively saying, God doesn't know what to do. And yet God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. It knows everything. So that mystery in between where we have the doubt, it isn't the doubt in our ability. It's the doubt in the unity. It's the doubt that there is that one power, that one presence, that infinite intelligence that flows through all creation. We know that's true. We need to remember it when anything unlike positive awareness shows up. When I go shopping and I think I want another pair of stockings like the ones I have on, but it's been hard for me to find them. And so I go and I look and I never find them. Because I don't have faith that they're there. Because the first three times I looked, I didn't find them. So what do I need to do? I need to do treatment for myself. I need to say, I already have stockings that have this characteristic, that characteristic. They fit. They look good. They're reasonably priced. Because they are already mine. And I see them on me. And the next thing you know, I'm walking down through some store that I don't even think carries stockings, and there they are. They're the ones that I want. They may not be the same brand. They may not be the same maker, because, you know, that one maker makes about five or six different brands. But they are what I desire. They are what I need. So I can't let Mr. In Between, my doubt, my sense of loss or lack, I can't let that get in the way. Because that is more dangerous than intentionally focusing on the negative. Because when we're intentionally focusing on the negative, the contrast between the negative and the positive is like light and dark. That mister in between of doubt, that's a gray area. Because sometimes it's here, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it is so habituated within us that we don't even see it. We don't even see it. I have a headache. Do I do treatment or take an aspirin? Which do I do? What is going to work for me? What am I going to give my attention to? If I give my attention to the headache, I'm going to need an aspirin. If I give my attention to being oxygenated, being hydrated, being at peace, seeing that all flows in divine order within me, there's no headache. It's gone because I stopped focusing on it. I stopped focusing on it. We have a book at home called Spiritual Literacy, and it is Spiritual Literacy, Reading the Sacred in Everyday Life. It's an anthology. Given that we look at the teachings of Science of Mind as practical spirituality, the divine truth that we use in every area of our lives all the time, we see the sacred in everything. That's practical spirituality. We see the sacred in the wind, in the flowers, in our interactions with each other. We see the sacred in walking, in moving, in washing dishes, mowing the lawn if you have a lawn. All of these things, they are very sacred practices. And so I have a story for you today that reminds us of our interaction in practical spirituality in our everyday lives. Consider a jigsaw puzzle. Each piece has its place, and no other piece can fit in that place. Yet no one piece makes sense on its own. Each piece needs the whole for its integrity and coherence, and the whole needs each piece to fulfill its purpose and bring meaning, and bring order to the puzzle. Once a piece is in its place, its separateness is surrendered. We know a piece is in its place when it blends with the whole and disappears. What is true for a puzzle is true for reality, with one exception. There is no hand putting us in our place. We must do that for ourselves. We must do that for ourselves. We must discover our place and take it. And when we do this, we discover the integrity and the meaning of the whole. We discover the divine energy that flows through all things and links each to the other and all to God. We must discover our place and take it. So when we accentuate on the positive, we know that our place is in the positive. It truly is. There are two of the four agreements that come to mind with this lesson. And you know I love the four agreements. So the first agreement is be impeccable with your word. Every time you think a thought, you are saying something about yourself to yourself. Remember that you are divine. You are the wholeness. You are part of the infinite. And so as part of the infinite, you are part of God. So be impeccable with your word, because you're talking about God. You are talking about God, the infinite spirit. The other one is the fourth agreement, always do your best. So what are we going to do our best at? Practice, our spiritual practice. We're going to do it every day. It is mental. It is our very way of life. Our spiritual practice is our way of life. And in that, we always are practicing the presence. We are practicing the presence of the divine. Because we're practicing being open. We are practicing accentuating the positive. We are being fully present in a practical way to the best of our ability. And when we have doubt, we can always do prayer treatment to release the doubt and know the truth, to embrace and embody the truth. Everybody with me on that?
Mm-hmm.
Good, good. So, I'm going to ask you to affirm something with me. Please place your hand over your heart and repeat after me. Every day. I accentuate the positive.
I accentuate the positive.
Every day. I eliminate the negative. Because it has no power. I latch on to the affirmative. I refuse to doubt. Because faith is who I am. And so it is. Wonderful. So we must always accentuate the positive as we live in faith and gratitude for the good that is the entire universe. We are that good that is the entire universe. You are made of star stuff, of universal love, of power and presence. Everything we think about God that we know as truth, that's you. And that's me. And that's all of us as one. Because God is all there is. I am one with God, as is everyone here. I know and accept the good for each and every one of us. And I am grateful, and so it is. I release, and so it is. Namaste.
Namaste.